On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Morena, Fabian Fanboy, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well, actually. It's nice to be talking about New Zealand movies today.
Yeah, I love New Zealand films, and so I thought I'd do my top five. I've got a few caveats to offer up front.
Okay.
Firstly, the rule was only one film per director.
Okay, that's a good caveat.
Or else this would be a whole big pile of Peter Jackson, Jeff Murphy, and Taika Waititi films, and I wanted to spread it out a little bit.
Fair enough.
And also to say that these are my personal favourites. These are not like, I'm not trying to set. I mean, film criticism is all kind of personal on some level, but I'm not sort of trying to be empirical about this and state that any one film is greater in any inherent sense than any other film. I'm getting ahead of myself here.
I think these are very good caveats, though. You've laid down the groundwork. What have we got at number five?
Number five, Hunt for the Wilder People. Taika Waititi's most recent film he shot here just captures a New Zealand sensibility so well. I mean, I love Boy. I love What We Do in the Shadows.
Yep.
I love Eagle versus Shark. But I remember watching Hunt for the Wilder People in an art house cinema in New York. And I just had such a sense of pride watching it.
Yeah.
There's a line in it where Rhys Darby's character references the All Blacks. and they changed it for the American cut. I actually haven't seen this in New Zealand. I'm presuming they do, because he doesn't just say the All Blacks. He says the national rugby team, which no one says in New Zealand.
Yes, the national rugby team, which is name is the All Blacks. Really spelling it out.
Yeah, I mean, you say the All Blacks in America and you get funny responses, but. Anyway, love Hunt for the Wilder People.
I know lots of people who had the same reaction. A lot of people who went to it in London and just said it was like every New Zealander in the UK in one cinema. Just all really patriotically laughing at jokes that no one else would get. To be like, I'm from there. That's ours. That's our movie.
Yeah. Well, what was great is that, I was with another New Zealander when I saw it, but I think we were the only ones in the theater, and it was great seeing Americans respond to it that way. I had a similar experience watching Thor Ragnarok at a press screening in LA, and the bits that the Americans laughed at felt to me like the most New Zealand-y bits of the film.
That's
like
so cool.
The stuff with Korg when he's like, piss off ghost and stuff like that.
Yeah. The truly Taika Waititi.
Yeah, it shows that Taika and his friends, they took kind of what was so specific about the New Zealand comedic sensibility and revealed its universality in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And what they've done. So love that film. Number four, Housebound from 2014. Have you seen this one?
No, I haven't actually. Who's this by?
It's a little bit of a scary-ish film. It's by a very talented local writer-director named Gerard Johnston. This is a kind of a thriller about a woman on home detention. And it's kind of like a ghost story, haunted house film kind of sort of subversion of that. And made a real splash at the time and got a lot of play in America. Very cool, efficient little film. The kind of film that highlights how when New Zealand filmmakers and without international money kind of can be creative under the restrictions we have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really...
That was another thing I wanted to not do is involve New Zealand films that cost $100 million and were funded by American studios.
Yeah. I think I can imagine what might be excluded from that.
Anyway, number three, Whale Rider.
Classic.
Nicky Caro, a bona fide classic. We all love this film. It captures something that we all like to believe about New Zealand and is true about New Zealand, to do with our connection to the natural world and the land. And I think I'm due for a rewatch of Well Rider, frankly.
Yeah, I think I am too. I was just thinking, trying to remember the last time I watched it, and I can very specifically remember it being put on when we had a reliever teacher in intermediate school, and like that thing of a bunch of sort of 11 and 12 year olds trying to be tough and not cry in the bits where you cry. I have a very vivid memory of that, but I can't remember the last time I've seen it, so I think it is definitely a rewatch season now.
That is awesome to picture. Number two, man, I really struggled between Braindead and Heavenly Creatures for my Peter Jackson pick.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go Heavenly Creatures just because it's such a beautiful, enduring film that captures something about the darkness underneath the sunny New Zealand exterior.
Yep.
That we like to present, which Braindead does too. You know, they both capture this kind of colonial forced smile that New Zealand kind of has or had in the 50s and 60s, and but then shows what's really going on under that. I mean, Bad Taste is great too. Meet the Feebles, all of Peter Jackson's earlier films hold up beautifully well.
Back when he was a bit weirder, when he did a sort of like, he kind of made some weirder stuff, I think. That's when I like Peter Jackson's movies,
Although I should say, I think his King Kong is amazing. I think the Hobbit films are really good. People rag on those Hobbit films, but I think there's some amazing stuff in those movies. And I get a bit frustrated with how ready people are to rag on Peter Jackson these days, because I literally do not think any single New Zealander has done more for our country in the history of New Zealand.
Calls there.
He changed our international perception completely, you know?
That is probably a very fair call. I got to say, I have a very specific connection to Heavenly Creatures in that my school was the school that the Parker Holm girls went to. And and so it was always a bit of a weird black cloud at our school, and if people couldn't be bothered to dress up for book day, they'd just come in the uniform and say they'd come as Heavenly Creatures
carrying a brick or something.
I actually think the drama department, some sixth formers, did it once as a school play and got in heaps of trouble because there's quite a good play written of it, but it was a little bit too close to home to be doing it at our school. So that's my weird macabre connection to it there.
Yeah, and something I think about Heavenly Creatures that was remarkable for the time, it came out in 1994. This was 1 year after Jurassic Park, and Peter Jackson and his pals, they got a hold of a Silicon Graphics computer and said, we can do that CGI stuff too.
Yeah.
And I just love I remember watching when CGI first came out, computer-generated imagery, like, how the hell are they going to do that? It must take a giant, massive studio to do that. But they were like, no, we just need one of those computers. And Heavenly Creatures has those great CGI fantasy sequences that are as good as anything Hollywood was doing at the time. And I just remember thinking, how are we allowed to do that in New Zealand?
Are we allowed to be this flash? What the heck?
Yeah. And it speaks to his thinking and his collaborators' thinking of that there was nothing holding them back, you know?
Fantastic. So that's your Peter Jackson take. What are we on now, number two?
That was number two. So
number one. What have we got?
Yep. This film has stood as my favourite New Zealand film for a very long time. Holds up worryingly relevant at this exact moment. Jeff Murphy's The Quiet Earth.
Ooh, great.
Have you seen this?
No, I actually haven't, but I know it's one of my closest friends' favourite movies of all time. So I've sort of let them down by not watching it.
About a guy, Bruno Lawrence, the greatest New Zealand actor who ever lived. He wakes up one morning and he's the last man on earth. And it's set in New Zealand. It's based on a book that's set in New Zealand. And he wanders around a deserted Auckland. Very eerie to see scenes on like completely empty Queen Street. Like it used to be on Sunday in the 80s. And it's just a wonderful sci-fi film that holds up beautifully well, has a great international reputation, and as I said, kind of has an odd resonance now.
So
much maybe in level 3, but But just with everyone, New Zealand being very quiet, the whole planet being very quiet, staying inside, Quiet Earth, you know, Geoff Murphy, hugely significant New Zealand filmmaker, went on to make a bunch of American films and made some other great New Zealand films like Utu, which I wanted to get on this list as well. And Goodbye Pork Pie, of course.
Yeah. See, I've seen both of those, so I should complete the trio with watching Quiet Earth maybe this weekend.
Yeah, I actually hosted a screening of The Quiet Earth in LA a few years ago, and it went down really well.
Awesome.
And it holds up really well, and it's just a film that should be required viewing.
Fantastic. Well, give us a quick reminder of 5-1 again, Fabian.
5, Hunt for the Wilder People. 4, Housebound. 3, Whale Rider. 2, Heavenly Creatures. 1, Brain Dead.
I mean, Brain Dead. Just changed your mind at the last minute.
Brain Fart. 1, The Quiet Earth.
Fantastic. Hey, well, thank you so much, Fabian. It's always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again next week.
Cheers. Have a good one. See you later.
See ya.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
You certainly have. And you